heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He ain't here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see this place where the Lord lay, and quickly go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples words. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid, and go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." There they will see him. You know, we're singing, "Resurrected King is resurrecting me." And this was the theme of what I was going to share this morning. So I'm just going to speak as the Holy Spirit puts words on my lips right now. I'm going to ask you the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Okay, Savior. But what does the disciples say? Oh, some said you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're that. Peter, in the Spirit, said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He declared it out loud. And the word Christ literally means anointed, anointed Messiah. He said, "This is who you are." So my second question is, why are some of us still buried in the tomb with Jesus? Why are some of us still stuck at the foot of the cross looking up crying? Why aren't we rejoicing that he is risen and walking with him as these women walked with him? See, these women ran to the tomb, all excited, saw it was empty, but then came back with the joy, excitement of the Lord. Very powerful joy, excitement. And here's the cool thing. What is the angel first thing out of his mouth? He says to the women, "Don't be afraid." First words, "Don't be afraid." What does Jesus say to them when he catches up with them? "Don't be afraid." What does Jesus say when he walked in on his disciples? "Don't be afraid." Why? Why? Because fear breeds doubt. Fear breeds insecurity. Fear breeds hopelessness. Fear counteracts faith. What happens when we're stuck at the foot of the cross? What happens when we keep Jesus buried at the tomb and we're just sitting there crying? See, if the Jesus that we worship is just the Jesus of the cross or the Jesus that's in the tomb, yes, we are saved. Yes, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we have a way to heaven. Yes, we have been redeemed. Yes, our sins have been pardoned. But is that the life that Jesus has for us? Is that it? Is that it? So basically, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, you know, we got our relationship, our connection with God the Father has been reestablished, but we're not accessing him, right? So what are we doing? Then for the next, whenever you were saved, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of your life, you're waiting to die. To see Jesus. You're waiting to access the throne room of Christ till you die, right? You're living to die. Is that what Jesus told his disciples to do? Is that what Paul instructed the church to do? When the Thessalonians were basically living to die and started selling off their stuff because they had rumors Jesus has returned, Paul said, get your crap together. If you're working, go back to work. If you're loving, keep on loving. If you're doing, keep on doing. Don't do these things. Don't act like it's over. Jesus tells us in his word, we are more than conquerors in his name. We are to come alive, not live. See, there's a big difference here. If Jesus is, for me that I worship, is Jesus at the cross, I am completely limiting myself. And unfortunately, many of us have not been resurrected with the resurrected King. We're still stuck at the cross or at the foot of the tomb or maybe even stuck in our homes thinking about the fact that he's in a tomb. Wondering what's next, just like the disciples did. Filled with fear that breeds insecurity, wondering, where do I go from here? What do we do now? We thought we knew it. We thought we had it. But our whole world has been shaken apart. Everything has been shaken apart. See, if the Jesus that I worship is the risen Christ, the resurrected King, here's the difference. I got his peace. Because he says, I give you peace, not as the world gives you, but I give it to you. Peace that passes all understanding. In other words, the peace that goes beyond the way you think and what you feel. Because most of us think, we think with our feelings. Right? We don't think with our brain, we think with our feelings, most of us. Hence, do not be afraid. Quit being afraid and insecure. Know who you are. Know who you are. The resurrected King adopted us. And we've spent a long time on that over the last month and a half, talking about what it means to be sons and daughters of the King. We are adopted into him. And we have all things available to us, just like every child has access to everything in their father's home. The crucified Christ, if that's all I'm serving, I know the vicinity of the address, but I have no idea how to access it right now. I know I'm going to get there. I know eventually he'll give me the Google Maps after I take my last breath, and I'll make my way up there, but I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not familiar with the journey. I have no access to his throne room. I'm still here, because I'm still crying about my burdens. I'm still believing I deserve the punishment that Christ took for me. I still am walking with my head down, just like the disciples, in sheer confusion, wondering what is next. How do I live the next day? How do I move on? The resurrected King opened scripture to his disciples. It says, I'll read this real quick, in Luke 24, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And verse 45 of Luke 24, and he opened their understanding. This is the resurrected King. All of a sudden, everything makes sense. It comes together. The resurrected King prepared the way for the Holy Spirit. He said, I have to go so you can have the helper, so you'll do far greater things than I can do, than I've done. And then he sent the promise of the Father. And then he gave us the power in the promise of the Father. He gave us the power in his Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And in that power, the resurrected King commissioned us and set us to go on to our commissioning, to fulfill the Great Commission. He tells them to go into the world, but you know what they were doing? They were sitting in a room insecure till the Spirit came, till the power of God was released on them. And the resurrected King, we're no longer tarrying. We're no longer striving. See, the waiting time is over. Jesus said, the kingdom of hand is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, right here, right now. Acts 1, 4 through 5, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem till the promise of the Father comes. And then they were baptized. We're not waiting anymore to get access to him. The tarrying, the waiting, the trying is over. Guess what? We don't have to try because it's available to us. We're not waiting. We just say, Lord, I receive. I believe and I receive. And I have this in me. Why? Because he sits at that right hand of the Father. And he's going, Dad, can you give my son or my daughter this? They're asking for it. And the Holy Spirit, Father, sends the Holy Spirit with it and gives it to us. That's why I sit here every Sunday or whenever we come together asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Father, what are you doing today? What are your plans for us today? Not what's in a bulletin, not what we have in our heads. What do you want today? Why? Because in sitting at the right hand of the Father, he releases, you've heard this before, every spiritual blessing in heaven, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He released it. See, we're celebrating his resurrection today. We're rejoicing in what he's done for us. But you might be here today still stuck at the foot of the cross, crying, wondering. You might be still stuck in that room, wondering. You haven't gone to see for yourself and saw the power of God at work. You may not have, you're still where you are. You're still looking at the tomb and feeling the tomb is still closed up and he's still there. The resurrected King releases you from those burdens. The resurrected King says you are free to move. The resurrected King says you are free to love and be loved. You're not stuck where you are. The resurrected King says your sins are gone, they're washed away, and you don't need to remember them anymore because you're not what you used to be. This is who you are now, and you're changing because I'm changing you. You moved away from the place where you were stuck to a place where now you're being changed and moved in the power of God. He's inhabiting his temple in you. If you're stuck at the cross, he's yet to do that. You haven't allowed him in yet. His spirit has not found his way into his temple. See, we access his throne with praise, with thanksgiving, with a humble heart and a contrite spirit. That's in his word. And the Holy Spirit is what directs those things and connects us to those things. The resurrected King did that for us. So we are not stuck. We're not stuck in our heads. We're not stuck in our emotions. We are free in the reality of the power of God in us. It makes no sense whatsoever. But this is who God is. This is who God is. See, yesterday my wife and I were in Keyport and we ran into a guy who works for a lawyer who goes against Christians. Anytime, you know, you try to give out Bibles, they're the company that goes against what Christians do. And I'll be honest with you, he probably knew the Bible in his head more than most pastors. Because that's all he does, is study the Bible to counteract the Bible. And I kept asking the Lord, you know what? What do you want to do right now? How can you reveal your power? Because he kept calling it a myth. A myth. You still believe in that myth? You still believe in those things? And I just kept asking the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you doing? I asked the Holy Spirit, give me a word of knowledge because he needs an encounter with you. See, he knows it up here, but he's not met the resurrected King. Okay? He was, from the way he shared, at the foot of the cross at one point. And might have even gone even to that room waiting with the disciples, wondering. But since then, he's moved away from that as far as possible. But he has not encountered the resurrected King. And all I could think about is Apostle Paul. He is a modern-day Paul. Great debater. Because Paul was great against Christians. But when the Holy Spirit got him, when he encountered Jesus, man. He was, what was enemy number one against Christianity became Christianity's greatest weapon on earth. Because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I asked the Holy Spirit for words of knowledge and something that would reveal, he didn't do that. You know what God said to me? Just let my words flow out of you. And all I kept saying is, you have never met his love. God is love. He really is love. And he just, and all I kept thinking, you need an encounter of his love. You need to be embraced. Get out of your head. And that's how I prayed for him. And that's how I blessed him and when he led us to. And you know what? He's been on my heart since then. And I believe the power of the resurrected king is going to encounter him because that's what I keep been praying ever since. Lord, it was no coincidence we ran into him. And the Lord has not taken him out of my heart. But he's going to have that encounter with the resurrected king. He's moved away from the empty tomb farther than any one of us probably in this room. So that's good news for us. Because you know what? We're this close. We're an open heart from the resurrected king, healing everything within us, changing the way we think, helping us to walk in his power and victoriously. This is who Jesus is. He's not here just an insurance salesman selling fire insurance. He's here to give you an entire umbrella policy that's going to set you free, that's free of charge right now. Free of charge, because this is who he is. So I feel like, and I know what the Holy Spirit's saying right now. We're going to go back into worship. And I'd like to go back into the Resurrected King song and then just move on from there. We're going to go back into worship. And as we worship today, as we declare this, I charge everyone in this room right now that if whatever is you're stuck at the cross with, whatever you are struggling with, where you are sitting in that room filled with doubt, you know, maybe you're one of the ones that said crucify in one area of your life or not. Because see, he didn't come for this part of me or that part of me. He came for all of me. The word of God says God extended his right hand. And I've said this many times in the scripture, the right hand of God is a representative of everything of God. When he extends his right hand, that means all of me is given to you. And in scripture, an act of worship is extending our right hand to God, saying, I am giving you all of me, every aspect of me. I no longer want to wait at the cross and wonder. I no longer want to just look at a stone around a tomb. I no longer want to sit in a room wondering what the heck is going on in my life or in this area of my life. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day I'm going to rejoice in the resurrected king. I am going to celebrate. I'm the one that was on that boat. And just like Peter, I saw Jesus after his resurrection cooking, having a little fish fry for me. And I just threw my tunic on and jumped on that water, swimming ahead of everybody. Because I want to be part of his fish fry. That's who I am. I don't care what it looks like. What did David say? I'll be even more undignified than this in my worship of the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. I'm giving it to you. I don't care if I'm a CEO, a king, or I'm just a maintenance worker somewhere, or a homemaker. It does not matter. Everything is yours, Lord. Every part of me. This is the day I'm laying down my sickness to you. You are the resurrected king that has healed all my diseases. You are the resurrected king. I want you to keep these in mind to start declaring them. The resurrected king that fixes my broken heart. You are the resurrected king that was resurrected to heal my wounds inside. You were resurrected king who healed my bruises on the outside. You are the resurrected King who's restoring my relationships. You are the resurrected King who's renewing my mind from fear to faith, from doubt to confidence. You are the resurrected King that is taking over my home. My home is now yours. You are the resurrected King that I'm taking to work with me, and I'm no longer going to whine about my job or complain about things in my job, but I'm going to say thank you because this is my mission field right now. And you're with me every day. You're the resurrected King that when I write on Facebook, I'm going to declare your glory and what you're doing. I'm not going to whine anymore on Facebook. I'm not going to complain on social media. I'm not going to, you know, do those things, but I'm going to let everyone know how you have resurrected me on the inside out. You're the resurrected King that took my broken emotions that were hurt many years ago and have fully healed them right now. This is why you are resurrected King. You've taken my broken marriage that I stood at the cross with you, but now I rejoice in the empty tomb because your resurrection has healed my marriage. You've restored all my hopes and dreams, everything that I am and I will be, not can be, will be, is in you right now. Right now. He's the resurrected King who's going to help you pass your tests when you do your job for all you in school. This is who he is. So I want to ask you to stand back up. I want to just pray over you real quick. Then we're going to go back into worship. And when we're done, we'll celebrate with our family the resurrection day. In Jesus' name right now, would you just put yourself in that receiving position? In Jesus' name right now, we just release, Lord God, the power of the resurrected King, the spirit of the resurrected King to come upon us right now. That, Lord, we are no longer slaves to fear, but we have been set free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing now and what is about to happen, what's about to break loose. Thank you that where doubt is, has been fully wiped away and faith has taken its place. Inhibition is gone because we are now filled with that same resurrection power that is in him. Amen. Amen.